The Judiciary Committee is back in order at 2:10 here on a fine Friday afternoon. We have the same committee members still present, and we're moving into the bill section of our committee today. Next, we're going to have House Bill 23, Restitution for Crime Victims, sponsor Representative Bruce Wyrock. And Bruce, why don't you come up? Oh, we have, that's right. Bruce, pardon me, Representative Wyrock just instructed me that there are some folks that might want to testify, and I understand Pam LeBeau is here with the Alaska State Chamber. Pam, why don't you come forward? I'm going to reopen public testimony on House Bill 23. Pam.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Pamela LeBeau. I'm president of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce, which is a private nonprofit organization. And we are in favor of House Bill 23. Most chambers of commerce, I believe all actually, are nonprofit organizations. And most of them are, at least in Alaska, are very small, have to rely on volunteers to help them do so much of the activity, in any activity that they're involved in. And from personal experience, I can tell you that the cost involved in rebuilding a set of books or finding the loss of money in the case of having an embezzlement is extremely time-consuming and costly, and it has to be done because you can't even begin the prosecution of the case until you have determined what the loss is. And in the case that I'm acquainted with, I know that the cost can be as much of as, and if not more, than the actual loss of the money. And, you know, volunteers, in giving their time to do such things as rebuild books and come up with the proof and the financial loss necessary, it's one thing to do it because you know that you're helping to prosecute a case and that the individual will not escape, that the person who perpetrated the crime is going to have to pay for all the costs to the victims. And so the volunteers at least are doing something to help their organization and to help other organizations by making criminals pay for the loss. And so we are definitely in support of it.
Thank you, Mrs. LeBeau. We appreciate you coming forward. It's nice to have the chamber's testimony. And are there any questions for Ms. LeBeau?
Thank you.
Are there any further members of the audience that would like to testify on House Bill 23 that I've overlooked? And is there anybody online that I might have overlooked? With that, public testimony is closed for the second time on House Bill 23. And we have before us the bill's sponsor, Representative Wyrock.
Chair, members of the committee, between the time that we last met on this bill and today, a number of members of the committee, the public, and the judiciary and the executive branch have talked with me and have come up with a number of ideas that are going to be made in the form of amendments today. And I reviewed these amendments and by Representative and chaired by Representative Bloomberg and Representative Guerra, and have no objection to them. If they wanted to be offered at this time so we could describe the nature and intent of them, that would be fine. So they're for your record.
Thank you, Representative Wyrock. For the public record, we had one testimony on this bill last week. It started to become a work session, and so we decided to adjourn, hold it over, and work in the following days on this bill. There's been some good hard work done by members of this committee, and I want to thank Representative Guerra and Representative Grunberg for for working with Representative Wyrock to come up with what I think are some good amendments and a good product. So,
also, Madam Chair, your staff have been very helpful too. So,
thank you. Appreciate that. And Vanessa Tondini, staff to the Judiciary Committee. She's always hard work. Okay, with that, we have got before us four amendments, and it doesn't matter to me in which order. How about my vice chairman sitting next to me? Would you like to move the one by Representative Wyrock to start?
Yes, I will move, label that amendment number one.
I don't have anything labeled that.
That's why I said we'll label it number one.
Well, I don't know.
For the members, I'll describe what it is. Amendment to House Bill 23, Section 1, page 1, line 10, after of, we're going to insert identifiable and measurable. And on page 2, line 11, after of, we're going to insert identifiable and measurable. Representative Grunberg, are you clear?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
There's a little bit confusion because that amendment, I think, should be withdrawn.
Okay.
And the amendments that should be before the committee have been offered by Representative Grunberg and Representative Gaya. And so, with all due respect, I apologize to Representative Anderson and you, Madam Chair, that one has been superseded by further discussion. So I apologize to the Chair.
Withdraw amendment number one.
Amendment number one, withdrawn.
So the amendments before the committee should be, I think, offered by Representative Grunberg.
Okay, so Representative Grunberg, would you like to begin offering your amendments? We have three before us, and if you could just briefly, why don't we start with Representative Grunberg?
Thank you. I would like to, if we could, start with the one that deals with deleting volunteer. Can we make that number two?
We can make that number one.
Oh, you're not going to have to. Okay, so that'll be one.
Amendment number one is page one, line 10, delete the word volunteer. Page one, line 10, after value of, to insert voluntarily provided goods or. Representative Grunberg, speaking to your amendment.
Yeah, let me just ask, did we ever adopt the Judiciary CS, which is labeled in the upper right, 23-LS0134/D, Ford 12903?
Yes, we did, Representative Grunberg.
Okay, because all of mine are to that.
Representative Grunberg, would you like to move amendment number one?
I move amendment number one.
Amendment number one is moved. Is there any objection to amendment number one? Amendment number one passes. Amendment number two, Representative Grunberg.
This will be the one inserting if the victim is a nonprofit organization.
Amendment number two reads, page one, line 10, after victim, insert if the victim is a nonprofit organization. The amendment has been moved. Is there any objection? Amendment number two passes. Representative Grunberg, amendment number three.
I would move amendment number three, which inserts the word that was necessary in two locations.
Amendment number three for the, to be clear in the public record, page one, line 10, after incurred, insert that was necessary. Page two, line 11, after incurred, insert that was necessary. Amendment number three has been moved. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, amendment number three passes. Amendment number four by Representative Guerra. Representative Guerra.
I'd like to move amendment number four. The intent behind amendment number four is just to make sure that the intent behind the bill is satisfied, which is that workers of a volunteer organization, workers of an organization, if they do the labor, the value of their labor is compensated. So it inserts the terms value of a victim's or agent of a victim's volunteer labor. And
I think that's a good fine.
Thank you, Representative Wyrock. Thank you, Representative Guerra. Amendment number four has been moved. Any objection to amendment number four? Hearing no objection, amendment number four is moved. Representative Anderson. Do you have a motion for me?
I move that CS for HB 23
as amended.
As amended.
H.
With attached.
Version H. Is it H, I believe? Is the
help me out with notes or note?
Representative D. Pardon me?
Yeah.
Representative F. It is / D. Pardon me, Representative Anderson. It's been a long day.
Get an aspirin. So let's go back. So
it's version D.
CSHB 23, version D, as amended with attached fiscal note or notes? Note.
One note.
With individual recommendations. Be moved from our committee.
Okay, Representative Anderson's motion was that CS for House Bill number 23, which is now a Judiciary CS, version D, as amended by this committee today, with attached zero fiscal note, be moved out of the committee with individual recommendations. So moved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wyrock. Okay, next we have Representative Meyer, we see you, but not yet. We have one more item of business. CS for House Bill 59 is Representative Holmes' bill regarding the cleanup of illegal drug sites. What we're going to do here is rescind our action because there was an amendment that had been offered by Representative Broomberg that the drafters were having trouble conforming to the statute on. So Representative Grunberg and Representative Holm and all of the staff have been working diligently over the last few days to make sure that we get it right. And it's important to me that the work that comes out of Judiciary is done right and that we're not forcing another committee to do our work. So with that, Representative Anderson, do you have a motion?
Yep, I move that we rescind action on House Bill 59. I don't recall the date. It would be in the record.
The motion is to rescind our action on the movement of House Bill 59 out of this committee. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, Representative Anderson.
I move House Bill 59, CS for House Bill 59, Judiciary. Work draft number 23-LS0341/H.
The motion was to bring up the CS 459, now a Judiciary CS, /H, to bring it up before this committee. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, we have before us version H. Representative Holm.
Yes, I move that we, I'll defer to Mr. Representative.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. The amendment is, I'm identifying it if I could. It's 23LS0341/D.1 by Lauterbach 22103, and it's an amendment by Representative Holm, and I'd like to be a co-sponsor on that, too, so by both of us.
Brief at ease.
Clarify, just so that everybody understands, we had a little miscommunication on the numbering. We have, this amendment will be amendment number one because we have a new CS before us that it is a Judiciary CS that incorporates the amendments that were adopted in last week's hearing. So Representative Grunberg speaking to amendment number one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number one, and I would ask a unanimous consent that I be added as a co-sponsor.
Is there a move to bifurcate that motion? Just teasing.
Wow.
Any objection? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted. Representative Anderson.
I move CS for HB 59 as amended. Oh, here we go again with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Getting you good practice.
That's right.
Thank you. The motion is to move CS for House Bill 59 Judiciary with amendments and attached zero fiscal note out of this committee. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, House Bill 59 is moved. CS for House Bill 59 is moved. Without further ado, we are graced by the presence of Representative Kevin Meyer, House District 30.
Yeah. back to my own committee, Judiciary, my favorite committee. And
Representative Meyer, would it be your favorite this year?
No comment.
Okay.
Well, yes, right. Definitely.
I was throwing you a softball there. Representative Meyer, speaking to House Bill CS for House Bill 82, it's a Labor and Commerce CS. Representative Meyer.
I don't think we want to look at it, do we?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the Judiciary Committee. You should have the committee substitute, the Labor and Commerce committee substitute in front of you. And basically what we did in Labor and Commerce, and the chairman from Labor and Commerce is here, but we deleted Section 2 that pertained to all commercial email. And what we want to do is just focus on what we thought was probably the most annoying, most offensive, and perhaps the most harmful of unsolicited commercial email, and that is email that pertains to sexually explicit material. And what our bill is going to do is not ban unsolicited email that contains pornography, but what we're saying is that you need to put it in the subject heading, and you need to put the words ADB:ADLT. And this isn't a subject title that we came up with, Madam Chair. This is a subject a title that in our research shows that at least 9 other states are using and requiring. And so what we're hoping is as other states start making this requirement, that perhaps too they will also use this same heading. And hence that will make it easier for these commercial outfits who are doing this type of material to know that's a standard feature of all the states. But right now, as far as we know, there's only nine other states that do require that. And again, this will not ban commercial email that has this type of material. It's just going to say that if you're going to send this stuff, then you need to label it, put it in the subject heading. Some people call this a consumer protection bill. I call it a children's protection bill because, Madam Chair, this is a I can tell you from experience, my 11-year-old daughter likes to check the email. And she likes to get email from her friends. She likes to get email from her grandparents. But frankly, I have to screen it first because there's so much stuff out there that I do not want her to see. And what this will do, and again, we're not going to put the email or electronic communication at any higher standard than we are other forms of communication. You can't send explicit sexual material in the regular U.S. mail again, without having some kind of label or some kind of protective coverage on it. You cannot go to an adult bookstore. You cannot, buy a Playboy or whatever, unless you're an age 18. So all we're doing is complying with existing law here, or asking the email, commercial email, to comply with existing law. The frustration that I have had is, and other people that I've talked to, especially who have parents, is that there is no way to protect their kids from this stuff. And what this bill will do, is, by requiring it to be in the heading, allows two things. First of all, you can teach your kids to, when you see that ADLT in the subject heading, you do not open that email. And second, and probably the most important, and probably the most benefit of this bill, is that you can set up your computer to filter, to pick up that word in the subject heading, and then we'll automatically filter that out, and then your kids won't even see it or won't even get it. Because I'm sure your kids are like mine. If you tell them, don't read anything with the ALDT in the subject heading, then they're going to be curious. So the best thing is, I believe, is that you can automatically filter it out. That concludes my testimony, Madam Chair. I do think that this is this bill will help. Obviously, we can't control what happens yet from other countries, but I think if enough states start dealing with this issue, it's going to force the feds to deal with it on a more global basis. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Meyer. I don't have anybody signed up for testimony. Is there anybody that you... But Ed's just to answer questions.
It's our
practice in this committee, if there's public testimony, to take it first and then have you come back for questions so that the public isn't waiting. Sure. There is no, is there anybody in the audience that I've overlooked? or testimony on House Bill 82. Is there anybody online that I've overlooked? Okay, with that, public testimony is closed on House Bill 82, and I'm sure there'll be questions for the committee. Representative Coghill and then Anderson.
No questions. I like the idea. So how is this policed, and what are the penalties once it's policed?
Okay, very good question, Representative Coghill. The Attorney General's office would be the one overseeing the policing of this, and obviously we as parents would have to bring that to their attention. But the good thing about computers is you can ultimately track back to the source of where that email came from. So you can catch these people. It's not like we'll never catch them. And the other thing you can do, if I recall, and I may ask my staff here to help me, but you can take private action against these outfits. And I think you can get up to $500 in collection by taking private action. So that would be your two means of...
Representative Coghill, and follow up.
The private action would have one level of burden of proof, and the state action would be another level. How does that work?
As far as showing the burden of proof, you know, I'm not sure, Representative Coghill. We have several attorneys here. They might be better.
I figured we might get one of the attorneys engaged.
Representative Anderson.
I think that what you're getting at is you can go civilly and try to get, you know, damages, or your second question, which I don't think was answered, which is what's the penalty? So I think I would just, you know, you could sue them civilly, right, or you would get a penalty if the AG was successful in prosecution. And I guess that was his second question. What is the penalty? Is it a misdemeanor, or is it
the AG's violent? I believe that's just a fine too.
Oh, okay.
From the AG's office.
Madam Chair, this is Ed Sniffen from the Attorney General's Office.
Perfect. That's right.
I hate to interrupt, but if there are questions directed toward enforcement, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sniffen. We appreciate that. Did you want to respond to Representative Coghill's question?
Certainly. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Coghill, this is Ed Sniffen from the Department of Law in Anchorage. I work in the Consumer Protection Unit, and we would be responsible for enforcing this type of legislation. And I believe I heard the question correctly as... is there a different burden of proof that would be required of a private action as opposed to an action brought by the Attorney General? And also, are there different penalties associated with those things? The burden of proof would be identical for either a private action or on behalf of the state if we were to pursue violators of this statute. If the Attorney General's office seeks enforcement against someone, we are authorized to collect penalties or seek penalties from the court of up to $5,000 for every violation of the statute, and every transaction would be considered a separate violation. So if there were 100 emails, we could get $500,000. That's something the court has to determine, but that's the authority would have to ask for penalties up to that much money. If a private individual wanted to enforce this statute against a violator, they could get a couple of things. One, treble damages if they could actually prove actual damages. And in this case, actual damages are tricky because you got an email you didn't want to see, unless there was a virus attached to it or something of that nature. It might be difficult to show. If you don't have a lot of actual damages, the statute allows you to recover $500. So you can get a minimum of $500 or three times your actual damages. But in addition to that, private litigants can also recover their full and actual reasonable attorney's fees, which is... it's a very good sword that we have in our arsenal for private citizens because under most circumstances, prevailing parties are only entitled to recover a small portion of their fees. But under our Consumer Protection Act, private litigants can get all of their fees, and that, I think, was intended to encourage attorneys to take on these kinds of cases on behalf of consumers.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's helpful, Mr. Sniffen. Representative Broomberg.
Mr. Sniffen, is there a provision in that act for the AG to get their actual reasonable attorney's fees too? I mean, I don't mean double recovery. I mean, if they go after the business, would they, like private citizens, be able to get their actual reasonable attorney's fees?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, that's a good question, and the answer is unfortunately no. We are subject to what we call Rule 82 attorney's fees, just like any other litigant would be. there has been some legislation proposed in the past to allow the attorney general to recover their full fees, but we have not been successful at passing that legislation. And the thought there is, because we have the authority to ask for these penalties, you know, up to $5,000, that perhaps that's a sufficient, you know, amount of recovery, that in addition to that, actual attorney's fees would be going too far. But as it stands now, we do not have that authority.
If I may,
Representative Gruenberg, and follow up.
Have you been listening to the entire hearing this afternoon, including the hearing involving Mr. Rankas?
Yes, I have.
And you recall my question to him of whether the consumer protection area, which is the area you supervise, would be an area that might be a revenue raiser as well as a law enforcement tool. Do you remember my question?
Yes, Representative, I do.
Would it help you if there were a statutory amendment allowing you, like a private citizen, to get your actual reasonable attorney's fees in enforcing the unfair in the Unfair Trade Practices Act? Would that be helpful to you?
Yes, it would. I don't know to what degree it would be helpful, but the more tools we have to recover in these actions, the better. In a lot of cases, to be honest with you, we end up getting judgment in excess of amounts that we can actually collect from violators anyway. But I do know in certain multi-state actions, which I'm actively involved in, the ability to recover full fees is a great bargaining tool for settlement. So the short answer is yes, that would certainly be helpful to us.
I am wondering.
Representative Grumman.
Thank you. I'm going to ask the sponsor of this bill, would you be willing to consider such an amendment to this bill that would allow the Attorney General to seek to recover their actual reasonable attorney's fees in enforcing the Unfair Trade Practices Act?
Representative Grumman, I appreciate the amendment, or the possible amendment. I think we'd have to do a title change, and I think it's more than what you know. I want to go with this bill at this time. I do believe, and again, Mr. Snippet can help us here, but the $5,000 fine should recover most of his expenses, I believe. But
through the chair,
Representative Grumberg, and then Representative Guerra, I think, wants to interject.
I'll yield.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and. Thank you, Representative Grumberg. I don't know if it was, I think it was probably unintended. I filed that bill this year. It's HB 59, and we have a bill pending that would allow the Attorney General's office to recover its reasonable full attorney's fees in consumer cases in general. So my recommendation would be to not attach a full attorney's fee provision to individual aspects of the Consumer Protection Act, but to do it globally, and hopefully that bill will be before this committee in 3 or 4 weeks.
Through the chair, I had no idea.
Representative Grumberg? Representative Guerra accepts your apology. Representative Anderson?
It goes to show that minds think alike. I won't say great minds, but minds.
Speaking of great minds, thank you, Madam Chair. This did go before the Labor and Commerce Committee, which I'm the chair of, and I'm also a co-sponsor, and I don't recall any hardcore questions on commerce. There didn't seem to be a problem, and it certainly doesn't affect labor, so I just wanted to put my 2 cents in that we did hear this pretty good question.
Representative Anderson has blessed the bill.
That's correct.
Any further questions?
The record should reflect it's Friday.
Any further questions? Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to commend Representative Meyer. He's done a very good job with the bill. This is a complex area of law. It's an issue that I also was researching earlier this year, and Representative Meyer and I have parallel email bills that actually address different subjects. I think we're each co-sponsoring each other's bill. But it's a complex area that he's bitten off, and he's done as good a job as you can in putting this bill together. So I'd like to commend him.
Madam Chair, for me?
Representative Meyer.
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Guerra, thank you, first of all. But Representative Guerra does have a bill that encompasses all the unsolicited email, and that was one of the reasons why we decided, hey, let's just focus in on what is most annoying and frustrating to us, because I do know he has a very good bill out there that will be coming, but he's He's braver than I am. He's taken on other and much more issues than we wanted to, and didn't want to slow this down because this one issue in particular is very important to us. And I think there's also one dealing with this over on the Senate side, if I recall. So there'll be more coming.
We look forward to hearing those. Thank you, Representative Meyer. Representative Coghill, do you have a motion?
Yes, we're on version S, right? I make a motion that we move CS for House Bill 82, Labor and Commerce, version S, out with individual recommendations. And no fiscal notes. Is it 2-0 fiscal notes? I didn't see it. 2-0 fiscal notes.
Hey, is there any objection to Representative Coghill's motion? Hearing none, House Bill 82, Labor and Commerce CS, is moved. Congratulations, Representative Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the Judiciary Committee. And I will say that you guys do have much more fun than we did last year. So.
Good.
Chair.
Thank you.
Committee's adjourned.